Say we are live, and it is the 16th of January, 2024. You don't have to stop bouncing, Sebastian. I know it's
Are you sitting in the in a ball, those kind of gym balls?
Yeah, I'm
Oh
doing
yeah, I
gymnastic
guess
at the
it.
moment.
Oh, that's a
Yes,
good idea.
so his wife is doing, he's doing, she's doing her
and
maternity
she's
gymnastics.
doing antenatal exercises. That's a word
Antenatal,
you're
that's
looking
the
for.
word. That's the word. God, it's been a long time since
Okay.
I've had to use it. Antenatal exercises, and you're doing the solidarity bit, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Jumping jack flash. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this normal, what you are doing, Sebastian?
Is the what is normal? That's the question.
No wonder someone's
Yeah,
gonna.
but today I was sitting all the time in the car. There were 2 hours when I was at Daimler Trucks, but the rest of the day I was sitting in the car, so I decided to take the ball and not the chair. So that's the
Oh,
reason.
so you went to a client meeting sitting on a bouncy ball, yeah?
No, that's why I now decided to sit on the ball. I was just, I don't know, 2 hours standing today, and the rest was just sitting in the car. And so that's the reason why I decided to not to use the chair
Okay, we'll come
now.
back to that. You went to Daimler Trucks. Sorry, this is an old client of mine. Which one? Where did you go? Mannheim?
I was in Wörth,
Okay.
so yeah, not so far away. And we had we started a test phase with a smart washer, which I was working for since 1 year to get this chance. And today we had so we started the test phase. And but it was a funny start today because I was there with a distributor, which is the main distributor of Daimler in Germany. This guy, they call it inside. So this guy is permanently or 2 days a week in the plant of Daimler in Wörth. He's supporting the guys when they have technical problems, and then they sell the products and all the stuff to them. And it was funny because we decided that he that we sent the device to the distributor, and then he, the inside, the guy who's responsible for Daimler, take the smart washer, put it into a what is it, sprinter? No, what is it? How is it called in English? A van? A van, I think
Yeah,
that's how it's
a
called.
van, yeah.
Transported from Karlsruhe to Daimler, so let's say 50 minutes. And this morning when I drove to Daimler and when we wanted to meet there, he called me just 50 minutes before we had the appointment and told me something went wrong. I don't have a van, so we have to cancel the meeting. I said, no, we don't cancel the meeting. We need to find a solution somehow. Maybe I rent a car or I don't know. And then it was possible to get the device into his car and my car. So we put it in two parts, or we divided it into
You
two parts.
took it apart into two parts, yeah.
Yeah. And at the end, we were able to drove to Daimler. So it's
Sounds
actually funny.
it sounds it sounds incredibly complicated.
Yeah, but
What's that?
that's how things are going in Germany. Everybody thinks
Normal.
that everything is perfect in Germany, but that's how it goes. You know, he said to the logistic department that he needs the van for this day. And at the end, the van wasn't there. And the reason for that was that the responsible person didn't tell somebody that the van is reserved. And then it was in Offenburg, so 30, 45 minutes, just for your understanding, Igor, away from Karlsruhe. And we had no van.
Oh wow. And What time was it? What time of the day?
8:30 something
Oh,
like
so
this.
your day started with emotion.
Yeah, it was not emotion, but he wanted to cancel it. And I said, no, we don't cancel it. We need to find a solution. If it's not possible to get it into our cars, then we rent a
Yeah.
Sprinter or I don't know. But yeah,
Huh.
we
Okay.
don't cancel it because I told him in 10 minutes I'm in Karlsruhe, so I don't stop. I don't turn.
And just to put you into the bigger picture of all of this, Igor, it's been snowing over here, so it's about minus three, minus four, bitter cold, and quite and places actually quite icy as well. Yeah, and the weather reports are forecasting black ice tomorrow, so you only venture out unless you really have to. Yeah.
Oh,
So
got it.
yeah,
Got it.
so that just makes things complicated. Yeah.
It's good to know that service providers are they are not so good in Germany as well, because sometimes I get frustrated. Not only with the USA, but Brazil as well. It's so hard to find good service providers nowadays that, yeah, it's good to know in Germany, which is like the highest standard, at least the world has this conception about Germany that they have high standards for quality in terms of service providing, and you also have trouble with that. So I feel
I
better
think,
now.
yeah. Well,
I think.
I'm going to push you into deep depression, Igor, because Germany's actually in trouble. Had a recession in 2023, and it is a country that doesn't really adapt to change. Or if it does, it takes an awful long time because Germany likes to overcomplicate things. They like to discuss things to death. Yeah. And then they reach a cons. So, and, you know, maybe I'm getting this a little bit too wrong, but sort of my experiences working with Germans is that, and I have a lot of that, is that people will discuss everything until they reach a consensus that, everybody feels that they've been looked after, but the result is so complicated that nobody actually understands it, and then everybody does their own thing anyway. Yeah. The powerhouse of the European Union is in trouble, and they're forecasting 2 years of not so positive news out of Germany.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but you have to say it was 0.3 minus 0.3,
The
so it was a
3%, yeah.
really, really
Wait,
yeah,
what
more
was
recession.
minus? What was minus zero?
Recession,
But
the negative growth.
like the GDP, or what's
Yeah,
the?
0.3%, 0. Negative 0.3% growth in GDP.
Wow, that's crazy. We hosted some friends 2 weeks ago here in our house, not in our house, but in LA. They are Brazilians, but they live in Germany. They live in Frankfurt. They have been living in Germany like for five. Well, 7 years, I think. And at some point we went to amusement park here, which is of the Universal, you know, like the studio, which is very good, by the way, but that's another story. We went there and there is a place with a lot of lights, like too many lights. You know, Las Vegas, this picture of Las Vegas with a lot of lights and everything. And our friend said, "Oh, I wonder how much it costs to keep this energy." And we started laughing, like that's a very German thing
Yeah.
to say. Here we pay, like, no
Yeah.
jokes, like we pay the electricity bill here in our house, like in each 2 months, like so it charges us in each 2 months. And the last one, no jokes, was like $45 for 2 months of electricity. It's
Yeah,
very cheap here.
but maybe that's the mistake, you know, that
Wait.
it's not expensive enough.
Huh.
But
Could be. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
if nobody is thinking about it,
Yeah.
how to
So
use it and so on.
Sebastian, welcome to the United States, man. People don't care.
Waste, just
Yeah.
put it to
Yeah.
fuel and just drive. But I think is there a change of using cars that are not using too much fuel?
Yeah, you see a lot of electricity cars in the streets right now, but it's like a It's because it's getting cheaper and there are a lot of incentives. It's not because people are worried with the
Okay.
environment. Yeah.
Okay. And I think California is not the prototype or the general country you
Yeah.
can compare to the rest of the states, maybe, huh?
No. Well, like this friend, her name is Georgia. She works for P&G. Do you know the company P&G?
Procter and Gamble, yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
yes, sure.
And she is specializing in water treatment. And she mentioned that United States like the worst example in the world of water treatment and usage. So I think that's it's a United States thing.
So, do you drink tap water in LA? Because that's, or do you drink bottled water?
Yeah, we drink tap water here.
Because every time I
Yeah.
go to the UK, I sort of shy away from tap water because it tastes of chlorine, and I just and that's just like really bad. Yeah,
Oh,
I drink bottled water, but here I drink, tap water's not a problem. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
Igor.
but Frank, here in Germany, I had the talk or a conversation about is it a good idea to use tap water here in Germany because there is a lot of stuff in it that you can't filter or for example, was antibiotica,
Antibiotics.
antibiotics, and so that these are the discussions you have here in Germany,
Yeah, so this really brings it home, doesn't it? Again, to put it into context, Germany, as I said, Igor, Germany is in trouble, and at the moment, all the not all, but the majority of farmers are up in arms because of some reason, and they're all going out to protest, and they're all converging in Berlin and protesting about a whole range of things. And in one of the German newspapers, I haven't finished it. I started reading an article about there was one farmer who's blowing against the grain. And there seems to be a perception, and this one sentence actually triggered this whole normalcy train of thought that I've been pursuing. And he said that the attitudes in Germany are such that if three snowflakes fall on a cow, the owner of the cow will be accused of cruelty to animals. Yeah, so we have become so disassociated with the way nature works. We've become so hysterical about so many sensitive things that normalcy doesn't really exist. If a cow stands outside in the snow, nothing is going to happen to it. Yeah. And so from this point of view, this one, it's an exaggeration, yes. So, but it sort of highlights where we are headed to in understanding what is reality and what is not reality. Yeah. And that you can extend this thought to just about any strain of life. You can start it with politics, you can finish it with anything else. Yeah. And the question is, as Sebastian said at the beginning, what is normal these days? Yeah. And I just wanted to bring it down to some really simple level, like what is normal in our weeks. Yeah. But imagine, for me, it's normal to work from home. Ditto for you, ditto for Sebastian. Ritesh probably works somewhere else. And how long does he need to take to get from his house to his office? We don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. And it's this perception of normality. And I see Sebastian jumping up and down wanting to say something. No, come
Two
on.
things. One thing I remembered, it's not fitting to the topic, but before I forget it, I saw a documentation this week that they try to hire a lot of Brazilian employees from Brazilian in the skiing areas in Austria, in the restaurants and so on. And they so there were, I don't know, three or four of them that are working for 2 years here, and one family said, What is positive in Germany? It's really secured here, so there are
No crime. There's no
no
crime.
crime. The crime is really low, yes. And the second thing, just a remark aside, was from the cook. He was just for one. He's now here for just 1 year, and they ask him, what is he missing? And he said, just hugs and smiling. And Igor, that was something I just want to tell you. I think that's maybe the difference. So that was something. And then the reporter, is the reporter correct? Reporter, is
Reporter, yeah, the
yeah,
reporter or the journalist, yeah.
just gave him a hug, and he was smiling.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah,
That was nice of him.
yeah, it was just a remark aside. It's not fitting to the topic, but.
It's actually interesting. I had just before Christmas, I met Martin, one of the community members, for the first time in three dimension. We'd never met each other before physically. Of course, we speak to each other every week. He works for the company, so it's a company contract, so hugely more professional, allegedly, than sort of what else we do in the community. Met each other for the first time, and we gave each other a hug. A manly hug, not a feminine hug, but a manly hug, and it was okay. When I arrived and when I departed again an hour and a half later. Yeah, Igor, is it normal for you to hug a total stranger in Brazil?
It's totally normal, like totally normal. Like there is no there is no restrictions in terms of hugging others in Brazil. And usually people, when they meet each other, let's say I'm going out with friends and like they will introduce me to some friends, like it's quite normal to hug. Actually, it's weird if you don't hug when you meet someone the first time.
Okay,
So yeah,
so
that's some that, that's some go
if I were
ahead.
to meet Mari for the first time, would it be deemed as strange if I, in the German way, politely shook her hand and very formally said, "Nice to meet you," with a bit of British reserve thrown in for good measure? Or would that be seen as strange by her? Or and say, "Well, who?"
Well, I don't know if strange is the right word, but it would seems like you are putting the limits, like so she would think like, oh, okay, so he is putting this limit, not that it's strange,
Okay.
of course. And of course, like in a very formal environment, let's say you are going to a meeting like for a multinational company in Brazil, of course you won't hug everyone, but I'm talking like generally speaking, the way we walk around the street, it's totally normal and touch each other. So here I was talking it tr yesterday with a friend on jiu-jitsu. Like here people don't really touch each other. I don't know, like they like when you are walking on the street and you like for some reason you bounce on someone by mistake. Like here people say, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." That's funny because that's okay, like that's not a big
Yeah,
deal.
but they think that maybe if they don't excuse that there is a problem, they have a problem with the person, or that's why their behavior is like that, right?
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel my hypothesis is that here people feel like your body, like the touch, it's a very personal thing, so it's a very personal thing to touch you. Way less than Brazilians think it's personal. So I think that's the reason. Yeah. But yeah, that's a very true thing. So answering the questions, like in Brazil, it's very normal to hug people. Here in the United States, it's definitely not normal.
Yeah, here nobody will hug you normally. If
Oh, wow.
you don't know, if it's not a really good friend, you don't hug. I think
Huh.
it's different in France, right?
No,
Frankfurt.
it's pretty much the same. I mean, what we have in France are the bisous, which is you kiss a woman on the cheek, yeah. And from what I understand, it depends where you are in France. In some places, it's only left and right, or right and left. I think even that's important. Which cheek do you kiss first? And you don't kiss; you just sort of like peck on the cheek. In some cases, in some regions, it's two. In some places, it's three. And I think in one or two places, it's four times. Yeah,
Wow.
it's really complicated. Yeah, and then
Yeah.
you start, and then you sort of lean forward, and the woman sort of looks back and says, "Which way is this guy going to approach me from?" And I had a really, really embarrassing situation in a supermarket a couple of years ago, where I had met or re-met an ex-client of mine, a woman, and I had totally forgotten that she is Muslim because she wasn't wearing anything to display this. And I leaned forward to, "Oh, hi, good to see you." I leaned forward to give her a peck on the cheek, and she jumped back and screamed at the top of her voice
Oh,
as if
wow.
I were attacking, physically assaulting this woman. And then it dawned on me, "Oh my God, yeah, she's Muslim." So I look, I'm really, and this is when I did the American thing. "Look, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I'm, please don't worry, et cetera, et cetera." Yeah. But that was one of the most. So it can go brutally wrong. In that case, it did. Yeah. And of course, there were like people everywhere looking at me. What's going on? Et
Yeah,
cetera.
something that left a mark on me when I was in France. I was in the south of France. I don't know if it's normal or just it just happened a few times when I was around. But I was doing volunteer in a place in the very south of France, and there something broke in the house I was working, and I think it was a pipe, something like that. And one guy, I think his name was Sebastian, by the way, I think. He came to fix, and he was a very, like the stereotype of a handcraft, like someone strong with the like all dirty, like a mustache and everything. And he came into the door, and he gave like a very deep kiss in the cheek of the guy I was working for. And this in Brazil is not normal. And I saw it a few times when I was in France, like between men kissing each other in the cheek. Is it normal, or was it particular of this environment I was on?
I would say that would be I would find that not to be normal.
Okay.
But again, we have one dedicated listener to this podcast now, and maybe Alexander I'll talk to him about it in the later, but maybe he can actually give us some insight into the male version of greeting each other in various parts of France. Yeah, what is normal? From my experience, no, it's not normal. But like we said, what is normal is. So, Sebastian, what do you do during the week from Monday to Monday that you think is perfectly normal? You don't even think about it anymore. It's perfectly normal for you to do this. Does anything come to mind?
I drink two coffee a day.
Ah.
Two coffees are too much coffee.
Two
Okay.
coffee, two.
Okay.
I don't know if it's too much, but yeah. I
Okay,
think this
Igor.
is pretty normal.
That's pretty normal. Igor, is that normal for you? Or?
I think it's normal overall, but it's not normal for me.
What are you drinking?
Oh, I drink so much coffee, man. You won't believe. But
Okay.
it's like I recognize, I never fixed it, but I recognize the problem. It's like, it's not that I'm addicted to the substance itself. It's more like I like to be drinking something hot, So I'm always, and like the fact that standing up and going grab some coffee, like petting my dog, it's something that I feel good about. So I have this trigger about going get a coffee. But yeah, I should look into that because I drink at least like 5 cups of coffee every day.
Okay.
At least. Yeah.
So it's a routine for you.
Yeah. It's a routine. But
Okay.
it's like a behavior that endures all day long. It's not only in the morning. That's the problem. I'm always grabbing some coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with me, it's 2 cups in the morning.
possibly three, and then I switch to tea. Yeah, because
Yeah, maybe I should try this.
because if I drink coffee at night, then I have sleeping problems. But
Yeah,
funny
but
enough, if I have
that's
an
brain.
espresso, if I have an, yeah, I know I'm 62, I'm an old man. Yeah, okay.
No, that's not what I want to say, but go ahead.
Yeah. I can drink an espresso in the evening. For some reason, this does not get keep me awake. But an ordinary cup of coffee, that's okay. But I have a follow-up question to this coffee. But Sebastian, you wanted to say something about coffee?
Yeah, I wanted to say that you have to drink tea, otherwise you have a problem in this household.
Yes. Yes.
I know.
But. It is normal. So this is how strange this house can get. My wife brings her tea with her from England, and she, because English tea is actually is stronger than the stuff we get here on the continent. And when my sister-in-law came over for Mary's birthday in October, she was asked to bring 200 and no, 300 or 480 tea bags. Now this sounds really strange because that sounds like a huge quantity, but in England you get boxes of tea bags, 80 tea bags per box, up to 480 tea bags per box. And my wife, when my sister-in-law arrived, Mary then said, so here are 320 tea bags. And they asked, why do you need these tea bags? And she said, the tea here is different. I prefer drinking this English tea from that and that supermarket. Yeah. It's bog standard bin end tea powder almost, yeah, but it's stronger, it's brewed differently, it's done, it's prepared differently, and it just tastes different, and that's what my wife wants to drink. So for her, it is perfectly normal to have tea bags shipped across from the UK to France, entering the European Union. It was a bit of a difficult thing now, and it's also a damn sight cheaper. Whereas I here have a cup of Earl Grey tea, bought from a discount supermarket, 20 tea bags for 99 cents or something like that, brewed for precisely 3 minutes. Yeah, and we'll come to the coffee brewing in a minute. But yes, this is one of the differences of living in a multinational household. And for us Germans, we love our bread, and we would. And when I remember living in London back in the late 80s, early 90s, I would always source out some bakery that produced or baked German style bread. And even if I had to travel to central London for it, I would do it. Not every week, but if I knew I was going into central London, I would make sure I would pass that bakery, pick up some bread, freeze it, and eat it then in my own measure. Yeah. But getting back to this coffee, because I know 50% of this answer here, but I'm going to start with you, Igor. So when you make coffee, how do you prepare your coffee? Is it instant coffee, just add water, or do you do it a little bit more complicated?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated, but not that complicated. So we do, I don't know if it's the right term, but like filtered coffee, like we
Yeah.
filter the coffee. Yeah, that's what we do here. We have a small machine that you can put the paper filter, and then you put the coffee and go put the water through it, and
Yeah.
then the thing will keep it heated for as long as you want. So we
So a
do it in the morning
thermos.
and we drink during the day.
So you have a filter, you put some filter paper into it, you put the coffee, the ground coffee into the filter paper, add
Yeah.
water. The whole thing goes into a thermos can, and then it stays warm for a long, long time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like in Brazil, 99.9% of coffee are made this way, but my father and mother-in-law, they do like French press coffee. which is it's something very rare in Brazil.
Really?
Yeah, and that I like it as well, but you cannot do large quantities. I don't know. I don't like using it.
Okay. So, would you like to know, because I've had this conversation, would you like to know how Sebastian prepares his coffee?
Oh, how long it will take? I'm joking. Yeah, I want to know it. But coming from a guy who take care of the grass as he does, I won't be surprised if it's a detailed process.
That's an understatement. My request, Sebastian, is we have 23 minutes left to the
Not
end
enough.
of
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Hey.
I would say kiss this topic, keep it short and simple. Yeah.
I many years ago, when we had already when we already bought was heißt Vollautomaten, automatic
An
coffee
automatic
machine.
coffee machine, yeah.
I decided if there is a time that the machine is not working anymore, I one day one. One day in my life, I have to buy a filter holder machine. So, you know, this typical Italian machine where you first
Grind your coffee.
grind the beans
Okay.
in a grinder,
Yeah.
and then you put it in the into the yeah
Into the
in
filter,
the
into
in
the
the in
filter,
the
into the filter.
yeah. So. And it came the time, I think 3 or 4 months ago, that the machine was not working really good anymore, and I decided now it's the time that I have to buy such a machine. And you know, it's also something you can celebrate, like having a green outside in the garden. I think it's really similar. And so you have to have a closer look to all the details, and it's also, yeah, how can I say it? It needs some time because first you have to test different beans with the different yeah roast types. So and you also know there is some different type of beans, Robusta beans, and so on. So they are coming from Brazilian, for example, or they are coming from other location. So
Okay.
it is, I think
It's a
it's,
science.
yeah, it's a science. And
Yeah.
but it, what was also really interesting to me was that, you know, you go to the kitchen. And you calm down a little bit, and then you need, let's say, 5 minutes for preparing everything, calm down, relax, and just concentrate on this stuff. And I think
Okay.
this is also a good thing. So because you have to you need assessed wagon.
A scales.
You need a
Okay.
scale because first I do everything manually. That means you first have to scale the beans. You need 18 grams, for example. So you put
Okay.
it into a cup or something, weight your beans, and then you put it into the grinder. Then you put it into the filter. Then you press it down in the filter. And then you put the scale under your cup because if you have 18 grams in, you need,
Okay.
let's say, a brew ratio of 1 to 2 or 2.5. You know, you can play a little bit with this. So you need to know what is the output. And then you measure or you weight what's coming out. And then you. That's for example, doing preparing a cappuccino. Then you put the milk into the cup
Into the
in the special
frother.
cup, yeah.
Yeah, into a frother.
And then there is a really great variety of milk steam, how you
Okay.
can produce it, how it flows, and then you can do different how is it called?
Drawings like
Yeah, you could paint with the
designs. You can design the froth.
yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And then you have
So.
to yeah, it needs a lot of time to do all these things, but at the end it tastes really good. And what was also a point for me is if you're using a device that is doing all the stuff for you have a lot of dirt inside that you are not cleaning, and here you just have the grinder and you have the filter, and it's really clean. It's nothing is getting dirty inside, and it's having a lot of Schimmel,
Mold, mold,
mold.
mold, yeah.
And so on. So I think it's a complete process, and it tastes really good. And yeah, that
So
was.
what the water temperature, like do you get it to boil until the limit, like 100 degrees Celsius, or are you,
No,
because I
no.
have heard that it's better to not get to the point of 400 degrees. So what's your
Yeah.
take on this?
Yeah. So on this machine, you have three different temperatures.
Okay.
I think 90 degrees, 92, and I'm not sure 95. And it depends on the beans, how they are roasted. If they are
Okay.
really, really dark, you need to go a little bit down with the temperature. Otherwise, it tastes a little bit
Like burn it.
bitter. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So you can play with it at the end. I'm not sure if everybody is doing it, but there are so many varieties, and yeah. So for me, it's
Oh,
just trying something
yeah.
different, and yeah,
Yeah,
that's
if you
interesting.
enjoy the process, that's what matters. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
It's a, it
and the
sounds like
taste.
cooking, right? Sounds like
Yeah.
cooking. Yeah.
Right up your street, Igor. Yep.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't really enjoy the. I think maybe someday I will enjoy the process, but right now I don't enjoy. So, but I respect who does.
No, but I have to say this was the simplified version, because when Sebastian and I talked about this a couple of months ago, grinding the bean is also an art form in itself. You just don't grind a bean. There are
Oh, really?
different
Yeah.
ways to grind it, etc. So,
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Sebastian, you need to understand it's so you have, let's say, 80 grams in. Then you have a brew ratio of 1 to 2. So that means 36 out. But you also have to brew it in a time of, let's say, 26 or 30 seconds. So if it's flowing too fast through to the coffee beans or to the grinded coffee beans, you need to adjust the grinder a little bit, what says finer,
More fine, yeah, or yeah, more finely.
more finely, because then the water needs longer to go through the coffee beans, to the grinded coffee beans.
Oh,
So
wow.
you need to find the right adjustments on it, and because at the beginning you get the sour notes in the coffee at the brewing process, and at the end come the bitter notes, and you
Okay.
want to have it
In a balance, yeah.
in the balance. You
In
want to
a,
have it balanced at the end. And
wow.
so
Yeah.
for me, the question for me, sorry to interrupt you, Igor, the question for me is, can
Okay.
you actually taste the difference?
No. But it's funny. I was today after my visit with the inside from the distributor. We had a coffee together in a coffee house, and
In a cafe, not a coffee house, yeah, a cafe.
in
Or
a cafe.
chocolate in a cafe,
But
yeah.
they are producing coffee by themselves, so I don't
Okay.
know. Yeah,
Okay.
and we talked about this topic, And because there is a salami, you can have a salami try or a shot. That means you have, let's say, four or five small espresso cups, and every, I think, I'm not sure, 2 or 3 seconds or 5 seconds, I have to check it, you change the cup in the brewing process. So you start the brewing process, let's say 30 seconds, and every, I'm not sure, 5 seconds, I have to check it, you replace it with a new cup, and then you can taste the different notes of the complete brewing process. But this is
Oh wow,
something I
that's
have to
cool.
check now. Then you
That
know what it means, what is the sour and the bitter phase in this brewing process to get a better feeling.
that's very cool. That's very cool. Like in the south of Brazil, the city where Mari was born, they have a chocolate factory. So they make chocolate, and it's a really good chocolate. And you can go through a tour, like you're gonna see the factory, the history, and everything. And in the end, they have something similar. So that they have like a line of steps in which you taste the chocolate in each step. So you taste the cocoa, then the processed cocoa, and et cetera. And the just last one is good. Like all the prior steps are terrible. Like it's impossible to taste
Yeah, so
it.
yeah, it's at the end, it is a little bit testing and trying things, but that you have a feeling how it looks like. So I just show it to you. So that's for example the machine, and
Okay.
it's completely manual.
Oh wow.
So you have the griff an der rechten Seite.
Look at the grip on the right-hand
Ah, the
side.
grip on the right side where you start, that the water is flowing and so on. So it's completely manual, and that was
Oh,
something
okay.
I like because it's really simple, and just that you have a feeling what we're talking about.
You would love to know my state in Brazil, the state I was born. It's called Minas Gerais, and in the south of Brazil, in the south of Minas Gerais, they produce a lot of coffee, and they are very famous worldwide. And if you drive there, drive through the south of Minas Gerais, you're gonna see a lot of farms. It's beautiful because they dry the coffee, so they put those giant carpets of coffee, and they will dry in the sun. It's a beautiful drive. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's also a topic. You know, if you buy here in a supermarket, coffee beans, the question is, how is it a fair trade coffee bean? That's what we are thinking about
Yeah.
here in Germany. Not many people, but you know, if you buy it here in the supermarket, it is collected all over the world, and you have no idea because you need
Yes.
this special price, and they don't care about
Yeah.
how people if people can live from this profession or not. And there are also fair trade products that they where you have to pay more, but then you know where from which farm it's coming from. Okay, at the end, you never know if somebody if it's the truth, but I think it's a good way
Yeah.
to you know
It's the
pay a
best you
fair
can
price.
do as a consumer, right? You cannot go for sure anything, but that's what you can control.
Absolutely, but this is also the coming back and stop talking about this topic. Coming back to the farmers in Germany, at the moment they are protesting. Is that the right word, Frank?
Yeah, they're
Yeah,
protesting.
but nobody or less people want to pay for regional stuff they are producing because if you just for example. If you buy tomatoes or paprika, what's paprika? Peppers
Peppers or
from
capsicum, depending
Spain.
where you come from. Yep.
Yeah, from Spain, it's cheaper if you buy it from a farmer in Germany, you know. But that so they are so here in Germany, the people are really positive about all of these protests of the farmers. But I think. And this is just I'm just guessing, but I think 70% buying the cheap stuff from somewhere in the European Union where it's cheap, and why they are on the streets at the moment is why the they get a, was heißt Subvention?
Subsidy, a subsidy.
They get a subsidy for the fuel, so they get it cheaper, and they want to stop, was heißt
They want to
subventionieren?
stop to subsidize
They want to stop to subsidize fuel,
the
but that's
diesel
not the
between.
reason why they have problems. Or so
Yeah.
I'm not so positive for the farmers, and maybe the reasons why I don't want to always go mainstream. I think this is also something I'm not doing.
Yeah.
And what I find really positive, what I found really positive, was a comment from a biological farmer. Is that the right word?
An eco farmer, an ecological farmer.
An ecological farmer, and she told in front of the camera the reporter that she's not participating on this protest because the problem is not the fuel, the problem is somewhere else, and it's just a
The
drop
tip of
at the
the top of
last
the ocean.
drop.
It's on top of the ocean.
So yeah, as always, it is not so easy, but
Times are a turmoil in Europe, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
Igor, in the last 7, 8 minutes of this, your typical week, what do you do that you would consider to be perfectly normal without even batting an eyelid?
wow. Walk with my dog, it's perfectly normal. Training jiu-jitsu is perfectly normal. My life is pretty normal overall, so I would say like walk with my dog, that's a standard thing I do every morning and at in the evening, and doing jiu-jitsu at night, so those are very normal for me. It's more it's those are more regular than what I eat, to be honest, because
Yeah, so the question would be, and we can ask this Ritesh, and I think Iswar not so much, but Ritesh, would it be considered normal for him to walk a dog in his neighborhood in Bangalore in India?
It's a good question. Oh, okay. I have to tell you guys this. So there's a trend in Los Angeles. That's very shameful to say I live in a city like that, but people walk with their dogs in strollers.
Excuse me, say it again.
Like baby strollers.
They
People
put the
walk with the, they put the dog on that and they walk with the dog.
why?
In quotes. I have no idea. And I don't want to ask. I don't want to know the answer. But they do that. Like every day I see at least one person doing that. And I don't know. I just gave up to understand, that there's a thing here. Like it's normal in Los Angeles to see this. I haven't seen this anywhere in the world. I guess like a question for Ritesh, like what would happen if someone did that in India? Like in Brazil, people would think the person is crazy.
I think pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
How weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. But I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but Los Angeles, like in the rest of the United States, it's known for being a very exocentric city, like where
Central
people
City.
do very weird stuff. Yeah, so that's and a friend told me once, like I asked it because it was very hot like months ago, and I would see people with sweaters and jackets. And very stylish people walking around. And I asked this friend, oh, why do people do that? Like, they don't feel hot, or what's the point? And this friend kind gave a perfect answer. She said, "Oh, yeah, but style is more important than comfort here." So it explains a lot of things in Los Angeles. Style is more important. How you look is way more important.
Wow. Okay. So are you going to set a trend of actually walking your dog, making it physically put a paw in front of each other and walking it around the block? Yeah.
That's what I do, at least.
Okay. So what happens if your dog has a call of nature and has to do a poo? Do people then collect it? Do you have a poo bag where you pick up the dog's poo, or do you just let it there and wash away by
Yeah,
non-existent?
no, we carry bags, so we collect it. Not everyone does that, but we do. Like we
Okay.
did it even in Brazil.
Yeah.
And but it's funny because fortunately, our dog, he will just do his business in grass, on the top of grass. He won't do on concrete, which is better. But that's funny because here all the grasses on the neighborhood are front gardens of people. So they don't have grass on the sidewalk, like the public sidewalk. So
Okay.
he'll do, and it's people are okay with that. So there are a lot of places that they know the owner already know us and like give us admire. You know, it's interesting. Like here
So,
come the dogs show shit on my grass.
fantastic. A dog in a stroller. You never
Yes, I swear, I swear, it's not.
stop
I'm not
yawning.
exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. Like it's very normal here.
My. Okay. All right, gentlemen, I want to close today's session with some listener feedback. Like I said at the beginning, we have a dedicated listener, Alexandre, who meets me on a Thursday morning with Celine. And I sent him the first opportunity exchange we did, you and I, Igor, going back
Okay.
where we sort of explore what's it like to be a tourist in your own city. I sent him that first episode. And he said, "Hello, Frank. Thank you for the podcast. I am free this weekend and I read this transcript and give you my feedback. Best regards, Alexandre." And then a couple of hours later, he writes, "Wow. Igor speaks very quickly." Everybody
Yeah, I
loves
do.
that.
Imagine if I speak that quickly in English. Imagine Portuguese. Just imagine. Yeah,
Okay.
I
Okay. We'll try. Anyway, wow. Igor speaks
know.
very quickly and it's very good for me. I don't understand all the comment between you and Igor, but I don't really need that. It's cool. I think that I read the podcast when I have free time or when I'm free every Saturday. Okay, so gentlemen, we have to be on our best behavior in future because we have one listener
Yeah,
who will not hesitate to give us important feedback.
we are
Gentlemen.
setting examples here.
Yes, Igor, speak Portuguese so we know that when you speak English, we can understand you. Yeah.
Yes, I speak so fast. When I go to my dad's place and I have to do some, I don't do that anymore because I don't work in Portuguese. But when I used to work in Portuguese, I would do so many meetings all day long and speak so fast that my dad would say, like, how do you process so much information in your brain? Like, and I
Is that sort
answer,
of
I
when,
don't process them. They just go out without any processing.
is that when your mouth sort of starts taking off by itself and starts talking
Yeah,
away
exactly.
and
It's
the rest of your head sort of stays
the
behind?
flow. Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, we are 50% on board. Let's hope that next week we are 100% on board. Igor,
Yeah.
it's your topic next week. You will tell us in due course
Yep.
how you will entertain us for 60 minutes. Quick
Okay.
organizational question. Do we meet in 24 hours?
Yes.
Good. But we will talk about comparing Brazil with Los Angeles now that you went home for Christmas. What was it like to go home after being in LA for a couple of months? Yeah. So
Okay, sounds good.
the culture shock of coming home. Gentlemen, thank you for your time and see you all again next week, I hope. Take
Thank
care.
you. Have a good
Bye.
day. Good
You
night.
too. Ciao,
Bye
ciao.
bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Ciao.